I'm Ken L. Nafziger, and I chair the pastoral search committee that we're holding for a campus pastor. We're delighted to have all of you come out for this first of three special chapels that will include candidates for this role. You received a paper, so I won't read all the background on our first candidate, but I did want you to be acquainted with Carmen Schrock-Hurst, if you don't already know her. She is an ordained Mennonite minister and current instructor in the EMU Bible and Religion Department. She teaches classes in spiritual formation, congregational and youth ministry, and she also serves as co-pastor of Emmanuel Mennonite Church with her husband Luke, a church that's committed to serving a diverse population in Harrisonburg. Previously, Carmen served in pastoral ministry in diverse places like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Richmond, Virginia, as well as in Central America, Honduras, and the Philippines. And she was in those contexts with Mennonite Central Committee. She has also served as a volunteer coordinator and bereavement coordinator for Rockingham Memorial Hospital Hospice. Some of you know her because of her involvement in teaching and in spiritual formation, and she has her degree in Christian spirituality from Associate Mennonite Biblical Seminary, which is now known as Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart. She's a finalist for the position, and she has shaped her chapel service around the theme of strong trees of faith, and you can see some of the trees that are beginning to grow. They're representing growth, but we doubt that they've taken root here on our stage. But we welcome all of you to further interaction with Carmen today, as she has a question and answer period that you're open to attend at 4:30 p.m. in the University Commons in 211-212, and we look forward to that. At this time, we would like to welcome Carmen Schrock-Hurst.
Good morning. I really appreciate you all being here on a day that we don't normally have chapel, on a rainy day, on a very busy time of the year for students. And no, these trees are not exactly how I would hope, the image of a tree you'd have in mind by the time we're done. And so I brought some tree pictures. Because I've been thinking about EMU and thinking about trees. One of my favorite parts of EMU are the trees here. Here we see some of the fall foliage. This campus, if you've ever been here in fall, as most of you have, is ablaze with orange, red, yellow, and it's not just the campus, it's the mountains around here. I love to scuffle down the sidewalk when there are leaves that my feet can go crunch, crunch through. But I also think about, did it work? It did. EMU and trees in the winter. When the evergreens are covered with just a dust of snow, it looks like confectioner's sugar, or when we have the heavy blanket of snow, or when we have had an ice storm and every twig is just outlined and dances in the light. This season is not Fizz Plant's favorite, but it might be the students. I'm not sure if you like to play in the snow. And then there's the season we have right now, which beckons all of us to be outside. Did that? Yes. With red buds and fruit trees and dogwood, and these colors bring us hope. They remind us that graduation is around the corner, and I hope that the admissions office knows these fruit trees, these spring trees, are one of EMU's finest admissions recruiting techniques. In the summer, EMU has trees that provide shade. Shade for many different groups who come to this campus, including Summer Peace Building Institute. People sometimes find shade, they relax under it, others prefer the sun, but most dogs will tell you when you want a nap, you need a shade tree. So I've been thinking about seasons of growth and beauty and change in nature, and I've also been thinking about it in our lives, because I think that these kinds of trees are not the only trees we have here on campus. I think all of us, students and faculty and staff and administrators, in some ways are like growing trees. As long as we're alive, we are changing. We are alive with breath. Now, some trees, granted, have lived longer than others. Some have deeper roots than others. Some bear fruit. Some have branches that need to be pruned or that were damaged in an ice storm. Some have branches with a nest of baby birds. Each tree has a different history. Each has a different trajectory of growth. Each makes its own contribution to our campus community. The book of Psalms begins with these words: "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like, you are like, trees planted by streams of water, trees which yield their fruit in season, and your leaves do not wither. In all that you do, you prosper." Trees that are planted by streams of water give us fruit and shade and likely have healthy roots. That might be the problem with these. Trees by healthy water are nourished. And this scripture tells us that our lives will flourish, indeed our lives are nourished, when our roots sink down deeply into God's word. Last Tuesday in the youth ministry class, we were talking about different ways that people have described or characterized faith development. How do we learn about God? How do we develop faith? John Westerhoff, who is a former pastor and teaches at Duke, outlines a theory of faith development where he proposes that our faith grows in rings, much like a tree trunk. So if you can picture with me a very tiny tree sapling, you know, if you cut open an old tree, when it's cut down, you can count the rings. We're going to start with a tiny sapling and grow it out for a little bit here. He says that the very first inner core of our faith is called experiential faith. It's even before we can talk or walk, our faith begins to grow with the fragile inner core of experience. And if we're blessed enough to have caring parents and a faith community, we learn to associate God's people and faith with love and trust and safety. I see this every week in our tiny church that has about, at best, 40 adults, but right now 5 new babies under a year old. Every time the church gathers, the most important and exciting thing is to see how the babies have changed. Who can now sit up, roll over, crawl, or almost walk? That's what we do. We stand in the lobby and watch the babies. We celebrate their lives. Last week, during sharing time, 5-year-old Phoebe was brave enough to take the cordless microphone and ask us all to pray for her ear infection. Yesterday, she took the cordless microphone and thanked us all and said her earache was better. The fact that she felt safe to do that tells us that her experiential faith has been built on trust and love. She has a strong tree trunk on which to grow the rest of her faith journey. But babies and preschoolers don't stay that way very long. Children begin to learn stories then about faith. Their brains can't do abstract critical thinking like you can, but they love imagination and drama and hands-on activities, Play-Doh and coloring. And as they get older, they love to belong. Westerhoff calls this second rung the affiliative stage of faith. He says it's where children and teens especially want to belong to a group. And youth ministers will tell you it might not be so important what they have planned this week, but who else is coming to youth group. My 16-year-old will check by text to see who will be there, and that probably determines his attendance more than the topic Ross has chosen. Our tree trunk has this layer of needing to belong. So now we have a tree trunk that begins with experience, and then it expands to story and community and belonging. But then it comes to time for crisis, or a move, or service assignment, cross-cultural experience. For many of us, it's going off to college, and we begin to question the faith that we were handed. We question our parents, our Sunday school teachers, our Bible school teachers, our pastors, the Bible. Here at EMU, we encourage critical thinking, so of course we would encourage you to question. We start to apply these thinking skills to our faith, and we are left asking things like, how can there be a loving God when there's so much suffering in the world? How can I believe in the church when it's done so much wrong down through history? How do I resolve the fact that committed Christians study the Bible earnestly and come out at different places on the same topic? This list goes on, And for some of us, it's so disconcerting, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Westerhoff calls this phase of the tree trunk the searching phase. And that is rightly developmentally where many young adult college students are. There is beauty in this stage because it's adding another layer to the tree trunk. So it's adding some strength. Last Wednesday, I came to chapel right here in this room and heard several seniors share reflections on their faith journeys here at EMU. And their stories touched me very deeply. There was a theme that ran through them about EMU being a safe place where they could question and grow their faith. Their stories to me were living proof of how these tree trunks grow. Senior Emily Harnish talked about a time when she had so many questions and she was distraught and discouraged by them, and a professor encouraged her to keep talking, to keep asking the questions. And Emily went on to say that when we articulate gaps in our understanding of faith, it actually can bring us freedom because doing so helps us to bring our whole self into Christianity. So this is true. Questions in and of themselves are not the problem. Questions can help us grow if we don't stop there. But the truth is that in this country, there's an epidemic of people, especially young adults, leaving church, leaving faith. Part of the reason for this is that the faith that many of you saw growing up is too lukewarm. With apologies to those named Luke, the faith you saw growing up is not strong enough, vital enough. It doesn't speak with enough integrity to the questions you're asking. It's been co-opted by mainstream, postmodern, post-Christian America. It's watered down. What you have seen modeled often has not looked real enough or compelling enough for you to stake your future on, for you to stake your life on. EMU wants you to serve and lead in a global context. To do that, you need a strong faith. The National Study of Youth and Religion and other places are documenting that right now people who enter college claiming a faith leave claiming, that an alarming number of those who enter claiming faith are leaving having abandoned that faith. I don't think the statistics that they're showing are quite true for EMU, but this trend gives me pause to ask, what can we do at EMU to not only be a safe place for those who are questioning faith, but at the same time to create an environment that helps you all to reconstruct faith, that helps us to prepare leaders for the new church, for this next phase of history, that have a deep and abiding faith. We need EMU to be a place that is trusting and full of love for those who did not grow up with a positive faith experience in that first rung of the tree trunk. We need to provide a grounding in Bible stories, in the stories of God's people. In a country that has largely become biblically illiterate, we need to not be afraid to speak from the Bible. And while college has traditionally been a time of building faith, reconstructing faith, indeed reclaiming a faith, College has traditionally been a place for deconstructing. My vision would be that it would become a place of reconstructing, where you can find a faith that is your own, not mimic back what you were spoon-fed, but truly find what is your own, with a vocabulary and a lifestyle and a way that works for you. And Westerhoff calls the fourth circle of the tree trunk owning faith. So we experience, we affiliate and belong, we search, and then we own. Owning faith is when you come to a new level of understanding God's grace and mercy and love, which covers the unanswered questions. When you learn that perhaps no one has all the correct theological answers, even the professors in the EMU Bible department, but you come to peace with that fact. You come to peace with the fact that on this side of heaven, we don't get all the answers to our questions. We perhaps do what the poet Rilke said, we learn to live the questions now. And you learn the power of choice in the context of belief and community. In this phase, your faith becomes your own, and it's hard work. And the truth is, many adults in this country don't ever get to this phase. If you listen to talk radio or read the letters to the editor in the Daily News Record, you will find many folks speaking out of a stage that they got stuck in, where perhaps their bodies grew, but their faith just got stuck. I hope we do not raise a bunch of stuck people. EMU talks a great deal about preparing students to take God's healing and hope out into the world. And that is an important part of our faith journey. But the truth is, we need healing and hope right here, right now, today. There is a lot of pain at EMU in our grove of trees. Some of you are grieving the recent death of a loved one. Some of you are grieving the recent death of a dream. Some of you are worried about your health or the health of someone dear to you. Some of you are struggling with depression so severe you think the world would be better off if you just left. Some of you are so stressed by the end of the semester that you can barely eat or sleep. Some do not have enough money to come back next fall. Some are graduating but have no clue how they're going to get a job to pay off all their loans. This list goes on and on and on. It's fair to say that any time you're in a public place on this campus, in the CAF, at a game, in a classroom, or here, you are surrounded by someone who is hurting in some way. And students, I will clue you in, this does not just apply to you. I could give you a list of things that the faculty, staff, and administrators are thinking about, like childcare on snow days and how to care for aging parents and how to get in shape for the Bravo health screening so they don't have to pay so much for their health insurance. So all of us have questions, and all of us have pain and need for healing and hope, because every tree on this campus has a story. There are stories of growth, and there are stories of pain. There are stories of community, and there are stories of feeling all alone. Just like the trees, our lives go through seasons. Some seasons are full of beauty, and some seasons are full of broken branches. Some seasons produce fruit, and some seasons we just get pruned and feel fairly worthless. But the thing of it is, here at EMU, we pledged to walk with one another through all the seasons. We came and we talk about community, a community lifestyle commitment. Some of us feel ownership with that whole thing, and some of us think it's ridiculous. Some of us take the sense of community at EMU seriously, and some of us barely remember ever having read something about that when we signed up. I think there's a connection between how we view that and how our tree trunks grow. We are not all cookie cutters. We are a campus of increasing diversity. Sometimes when some people talk about community, other people, for whatever reason, largely through no fault of their own, feel left out. And that pain is very real. It's a little bit like someone trying to carve their initials into your tree trunk. And for that, when you have felt that pain, I'm sorry. And I hope that as a campus, we can do better at understanding what it is that some of us do to make a sense that some others are inside or outside of this community. The challenge is for each of us to take our faith journey and development seriously, no matter what age we are, whether we're 5-year-old Phoebe, or someone about to graduate, or someone sitting in the president's office. All ages, all stages are invited to continue to grow, to blossom, to bear fruit. And all of us are called to help one another do that. No one's off the hook. We do this by making a safe place for people to grow at their own pace and in their own way, but we don't water it all down because sometimes we also challenge one another. We disciple one another. We care enough to correct one another and hold one another accountable. We make space, yes, for questions and doubts, but we also acknowledge that we do stand for something here, that Jesus is Lord, and he does call us to a life and faith of obedience. That was apparently noteworthy. We don't hide that. We don't hide who we are. But sometimes we have to agree to disagree in love. There's a lot of people in this country that disagree. There aren't that many that know how to do it in love. So that's my invitation for us as a campus. If you're tired of self-centered and angry religion and angry politics, let's take faith development seriously here at EMU, but let's do it with love and with compassion and with integrity. This morning, no matter what season you're in, whether it's a season of grief or joy, lack of direction or clarity, the winter of broken relationships or the spring of fresh red buds, whether you're in the season of stressful exams or liberation of a free summer, I want you to remember to let your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Okay. I want to close by reading these verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Was Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, it is my prayer for us as a campus. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in each of your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Join me now in a prayer. Creator God, for the beauty that surrounds us on this campus, we thank you. And for the beauty that you have placed within each one of us, we also thank you. For the pain that is around us on this campus, and indeed in this world, we ask for your mercy and for your grace. And for the pain that we carry within each of our hearts, we ask for your healing and your hope. We pray these things because we are an Easter people. We pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.